get open field, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown!
From the front office,
we'll never be totally satisfied till we win the championship.
Now, we have a lot of young players on this team and new coaching staff. I think we're happy about it.
To the coach's office.
I'm enjoying the interaction with the coaches. I'm enjoying working with the players. I enjoy the process.
From the Browns of the present.
I'm thrilled to be where I'm at each and every day to play quarterback here.
I am a threat. I'm on the football field. I can possibly get that football. And when I get the football, better strap your helmet on tight. You know, make sure all your 10 stripes buckled up because it's taking for a ride.
To the Browns of the past.
Bernie Kosar. Joining us,
Brian Seif,
Jerry Shirk,
Clay Matthews.
This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, in association with Quaker Steak and Lube on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Nice, it pushes, and he's in! Touchdown! It is all over! The Browns have won it!
Now, here's your host, Vic Carucci.
And we welcome you to this Football Friday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Good stuff for you tonight. Joe Thomas, the five-time Pro Bowl offensive tackle, is going to join us very shortly. We're going to take a look at Saturday and Sunday's playoff games with the help of Alex Marvez, good buddy from FoxSports.com. He'll run those down. He'll be at the Giants-Falcons game, but we're going to talk all four playoff games with Alex, the wild card round. And we're going to take a look at the running back position in our postseason positional reviews. Michael Ragai, familiar voice here at ESPN 850, is going to join me for that. We'll also go inside the numbers at that position from Ask Vic, questions that you post to the Browns official Facebook page. This was Terry. He said, I agree with Holmgren's plan for working within his plan to improve the team. However, I was disappointed that the sad state of the O-line was not discussed. Well, and he asked me if I agree with that. Terry, I don't agree that it was an oversight intended in any way to diminish what the O-line is. I just think a lot of the questions that are going to be asked of the team president and of the general manager, Tom Heckert, as we heard yesterday in both their press conferences and on my show, are going to focus on the areas that are going to get the biggest conversation. Quarterback, you know, wide receiver, the so-called skill positions. The line, definitely, and I got into this some with Tom Heckert on the show, the line definitely is on the agenda as something that they'll look at. But we'll think about that right tackle spot. You know the areas of need, but I think there's also a feel that some of the younger people, particularly Jason Pinkston and Sean Laval, are part of a growth. I don't know if they're necessarily earmarked to fully hold their starting jobs, but I think they're part of a growth process. And we welcome Joe Thomas to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. So, Joe, big picture as you look back on the 2011 season, obviously disappointment from a record standpoint. Your general thoughts on how the season finished out, as I say, on the whole?
Well, certainly we didn't reach the goals that we kind of set forward at the beginning of the season, and the win-loss is always the way you're going to be judged, as it should be, and so we're not there where we want to be as far as that goes. But as far as getting a lot of young guys experience, the improvement that we made throughout the season, the better understanding of the offense and the defense, and then just generally playing better, executing better, and the growth I think that we saw is a really positive sign moving forward.
And for the offensive line, it had to be a challenge and a half, because you had two very young people on the interior in Jason Pinkston, Sean Laval. The injury, of course, to Eric Steinbach to start things off on a bad note. And you're, of course, one of the glue guys on that line, and Alex Mack. Just your sense of how you were able to keep it together as much as you could, or as best as you could.
Well, I think losing Eric early was tough, but we were really blessed to have Jason Pinkston come in as a rookie to be able to start every single game, and he played exceptionally well. And the growth that he made and the progress that he made by the end of the year playing like a vet was huge for our offensive line.
What were some of the keys to, because continuity is key, right? You show anyone a good offensive line, they show you a line that's stuck together and have had people who play together for a while. You didn't have that. So what were some of the points of emphasis that you and the other veterans had to, and Coach George Warhop, the offensive line, to do to keep this thing together?
Mm-hmm. Well, like you said, it's all about staying healthy and staying on the field. And, I think me and Alex and Pink didn't miss a snap. And And for the most part, the right side was pretty much intact, too. So when you have that type of continuity, that's really important because you get the other and you get to be able to make calls without even having to say anything because you're both thinking the same thing.
For you individually, a fifth consecutive Pro Bowl selection certainly had to be a source of pride. But on the one hand, you get that. And on the other hand, again, I know you're all about the team and wanting the wins. How hard was it kind of to balance those things out?
Well, it's always nice to be recognized by your peers to be selected to the Pro Bowl. But certainly making the playoffs would be a much better gift. So that's what we're going to be working for next season, hopefully.
And as you look at what this team has, I mean, the constant was the offense just didn't score enough points. And that was maybe the theme that was consistent throughout. Number one, how do you address that? And number two, what do you see the prospects of that being, how do you see the prospects of that being addressed going forward?
Well, certainly we're going to, draft some players on offense and probably pick up a couple guys in free agency. So I think with the addition of a couple new players and having an extra an off season in this offense is going to really help us move forward. And I think we're going to have a really good offense next year.
Joe Thomas, Pro Bowl offensive tackle, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. How difficult for you and the rest of the line was it to have to work with this wasn't new to you, but to work with two quarterbacks, with Seneca finishing off the year with those last three starts?
Well, generally, sometimes it's tough because a lot of times quarterbacks have real different attributes and they play the game very differently. But Colton Seneca are actually fairly similar quarterbacks, and Seneca's been in the offense for a long time, so I think the transition was pretty smooth as far as the plays that we were calling and kind of the things that we were trying to do on offense. So it was one of the more smooth transitions I think that I've had since I've been here as far as going from a starter to the backup.
Difficulty with the running game primarily because of health. Peyton Hillis getting hurt or sick and hurt early on and then finally coming back, but different people, Chris Obanaya being brought into the mix, and again more injuries that you dealt with at that position. Overall, how was that? What was that a challenge and an adjustment for the offensive line?
Well, yeah, it was a challenge because of, we lost Brandon Jackson right away before the season really even started. And so we were down a running back early on. And then, Montario dealt with a lot of injuries during the year, and same thing with Peyton. So anytime you're picking up running backs midseason and they're your starter, it becomes a little bit tough because just like it's important to have continuity in the offensive line, it's important to have some continuity between the offensive line and the running back. So I think towards the end of the season, we saw some good improvement once we had some of those injured guys in the fold consistently, and hopefully next year we'll have a full stable of healthy guys.
And Joe, this is five seasons for you with this team. You've been through different coaches, different regimes, but as you see what you have in place right now, and you mentioned earlier, you got to get some of the help on the offensive side of the ball. Certainly, there's some good youth in place, especially on the defensive side. What do you see for the Browns' big picture going forward? Is there reason for you to be encouraged about where this team is headed in 2012?
There's no question. There's great reasons to be encouraged. I think this thing is definitely heading in the right direction. Seen a lot of improvement this year already, and the amount of young talent we have on this team is really exciting. And I can't wait for 2012 season to start already.
Joe, thanks so much. We wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Okay, and coming up next, a conversation with Alex Marvez from FoxSports.com. We're going to take a look at Saturday and Sunday's wild card action in the National Football League. I'm Cleveland Browns Daily. It's brought to you by, it's driven by Liberty Ford. We know that. It's driven by Liberty Ford. Okay? But then it's also brought to you by Madden NFL 12, which is in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game.
For the best deal on a new or pre-owned vehicle? Well, look no further than LibertyFord.com. Go online and search Ohio's number one Ford dealer group's large selection of new and pre-owned inventory. Apply for instant credit approval, schedule your next service appointment, learn about special offers, and more. It's all just one click away at LibertyFord.com. Liberty guarantees financing, and nobody pays more for your trade.
Liberty is in Maple Heights, Brunswick, Parma Heights, Vermilion, Home. Hey, Browns fans, your favorite Cleveland Browns are going green, and you can too. Intercept your waste. Recycle your cardboard, paper, plastic, cans, and glass at home, at work, and on game days. Remember to compost food scraps and yard clippings too. Make it a habit. Reduce, reuse, recycle, and compost. Visit CuyahogaSWD.org to learn more. Powered by the Ohio Department of Natural Resources and the Cuyahoga County Solid Waste District.
Cleveland starts here, every Sunday with the Browns. It starts with hard-nosed football. Die-hard loyalty is committing to the full 50. PNC is proud to be a sponsor of the Browns and a backer of every fan, like you, because you're part of the undeniable achievement that's happening right now in this great city. So whether it's a tailgate party or over 73,000 Browns fans, it all starts in Cleveland. PNC Bank, proud sponsor of the Cleveland Browns. The PNC Financial Services Group, Inc., all rights reserved. PNC Bank, National Association member, FDIC.
Over 600 brand new RVs on display. Top area RV dealers competing head-to-head for your business. The lowest prices of the year, and all in one location. It's the Ohio RV Super Show, January 4th through the 8th at the IX Center in Cleveland. Brand new tent campers, travel trailers, fifth wheels, motorhomes, even luxury diesel pushers and more. All at low show prices. Folks, it's the absolute best time in years to buy your dream RV. See Logan Wells and Jerry Colosimo's Variety Music Show, Brian Browdy and his Green RV, and come meet everyone's favorite Smarter Than the Average Bear, Boomerang Network's Yogi Bear and his pal Boo Boo on Saturday and Sunday. Come to the Ohio RV Super Show, January 4th through the 8th at the IX Center in Cleveland. Folks, it's the largest indoor RV show in the country. Check our website at OhioRVShow.com for full details. Plus, get weekday discount coupons at your local participating RV dealers or on the web at OhioRVShow.com. The Ohio RV Super Show. It's the one you definitely don't want to miss.
Ben Deacon here for Infinity of Bedford. Located in the heart of Bedford's Auto Mile, Infinity of Bedford is the number one Infinity store in Ohio, Michigan, Kentucky, and Indiana for the last 4 years. They have the largest selection of Infinities and have more service technicians than anyone else to take care of your Infinity. They have pickup service at your home or office and a fleet of loan vehicles to use while you have your Infinity service. To find your next Infinity or for service, visit InfinityofBedford.com. Infinity of Bedford, a Penske Automotive dealership.
Welcoming you back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And this Around the League segment, it's brought to you by Madden NFL 12 in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game.
So pleased to welcome to the show right now to help us talk about this weekend's playoff action, Alex Marvez, a good buddy from FoxSports.com. Alex, how you doing?
Doing great, Vic. It's an honor to be back with you, my friend.
Always a pleasure to have you with us. And we know you're going to be covering that Giants-Falcons game, and we'll get to that one. But I want to run down Saturday's action. Bengals at Texans. Obviously, there'll be some interest in this game from a Browns fan perspective because of the divisional rivalry here and the fact that this is pretty interesting, the rookie quarterback going up against a Texans team that also has a rookie quarterback.
Yeah, first time in NFL history, I believe, in a playoff game that two rookies have started off against each other, which is, you know, phenomenal when you think about it. And in the case of, really more in the case of Andy Dalton than T.J. Yates, although you got to give T.J. credit, he did lead the Houston Texans to two victories when they needed it the most to go ahead and clinch the AFC South. In fact, he did it against Cincinnati. Big comeback win, 20-19 earlier this season. But what Andy Dalton has done is really taken it to another level. And in any other year that you didn't have a Cam Newton, I think that he'd pretty much be a hands-down front-runner for Rookie of the Year, Offensive Rookie of the Year. And I think A.J. Green would be right there with him in that category. I mean, for the Bengals to nail their first two picks and to be able to get their wide receiver for the future and their quarterback for the future, wow. I mean, it's pretty strong, especially, you know, talking about the Cleveland Browns and the fact that they may not have either right now on the roster. I mean, you hate to see a division rival do that, but what concerns me about the Bengals right now, Vic, it seems to me a repeat of 2009, a team that hits December, they've made it that far, they get into the playoffs, and then they just run out of steam. And I really think that that may be the case with the Bengals right now. You look at the two big carries they gave up to Ray Rice in last week's game against Baltimore, a golden opportunity to get into the playoffs on their own, and so the Ravens beat them at Paul Brown Stadium. The Texans, they're not going to do anything fancy. They're going to just try to play it close to the vest, lean on the defense, lean on the running game, hope T.J. Yates can make a couple plays in the passing game, especially with Andre Johnson back on the field. Atmosphere is going to be amazing. They've been waiting 10 years, Vic, to get into the playoffs. So yeah. I think the Texans win this one.
Yeah, I think the Texans, and it could be close and competitive just because of the relative postseason inexperience on both sides, obviously, especially at that quarterback position. But I think you nailed it. If Andre Johnson is anything close to full Andre Johnson, I see that as such a difficult thing for this Bengals team to handle. And I would look that the Bengals' best chance from their side is getting Cedric Benson kind of going and trying to have success against this Texans defense. And having success against this Texans defense is not easy.
No, and you know, you got to give so much credit to Wade Phillips. And, you know, Mike Florio at Pro Football Talk had an interesting column up about how the Texans, and I never thought of it this way, but he's right, they have a head coach offense and a head coach defense. And that's what Wade Phillips does. And Mike's point was maybe that's what San Diego needs to do going forward with North Turner, have a head coach on defense, that powerful figure who's not going to challenge your job security or anything like that, although Wade Phillips was waiting in the wings if things didn't work out with Gary Kubiak this year. But, hey, that's the reality of it. Now, that's not going to be the case in San Diego. John Pagnano, their linebackers coach, a well-deserved promotion of that. But,
right.
I mean, this Texans team can play defense. And that's the thing. And look at the improvement in the secondary. Smart move moving Glover Quinn over to the strong safety spot rather than corner where that wasn't his best fit. Jonathan Joseph, former Bengal, and I talked with Glover this week, and he said you could see it a little bit in his eyes, in Jonathan Joseph's eyes, that he wouldn't mind showing the Cincinnati Bengals that they made a mistake by not bidding to keep his services. I'm with you. The Bengals, you know, Seth Benson, a lot of fumbles late in the season. And, you know, with Cincinnati now having two first-round picks, Vic, I know that the running back position, you know, you can do it the way that teams have done it in terms of, you know, a free agent player that have come from out of nowhere. You know, in Cleveland, Peyton Hillis was a throw-in in a trade, and you look how productive he's been for the Browns the past 2 years. But with those two first-round picks, it would not shock me at all if the Bengals look at drafting a running back, say farewell to Cedric Benson, and go ahead and get a new bell cow back to help run this offense.
Second game on Saturday, Lions at Saints. Alex, is anyone going to stop the Saints team? I mean, it looks like I can't think of another team really rolling into the postseason in better shape with more momentum, more explosiveness. We know all about the Drew Brees spectacular play, their offense as a whole. It just looks like this is an unstoppable ball club.
Yeah, well, at home. That's the whole thing, and this is where it really hurt them that St. Louis wasn't able to pull up that upset of the San Francisco 49ers, because the Saints have proven they're not the same team outside the Superdome, where they are maybe the best home team in football. I mean, they scored more points at home than any team in NFL history. They're averaging more than 40 points a game at home, Vic. I mean, that's just unbelievable. The margin of victory is in double digits that they're doing. In fact, the over-under on this game established by the odds makers in Vegas is 59. It is the largest over-under in the postseason in NFL history, just to let you know. So people are expecting points coming up on Saturday night. I think they're going to get them. I think the Lions, you know, you just gave up 6 touchdown passes and more than 400 yards passing to a quarterback making a second NFL start. Doesn't give you a ton of confidence in the Detroit Lions, but we know this. They can score, and that's why the over-under is set at 59, and I think that the Lions are going to be able to put up some points, but not at the pace of the Saints. This is a very special Saints team. The big question then becomes, where do they head next? Are they in San Francisco at Candlestick, where the field is slower? It's a sloppy grass field. Well, it sort of mitigates a little bit of the quickness that the Saints have, or do they have to go to the frozen tundra of Green Bay and face a rematch there, where I think they can put up points against the Packers defense, but again, cold's a mitigating factor. But that one should be the opposite in terms of offense for the afternoon game, watching the Saints and the Lions on Saturday night.
And I just get that feeling, and it happens, obviously, we're a team that's had a long playoff drought, gets to the playoffs, and just reaching the playoffs often is viewed as the prize by that team, and that could be the case with this Lions club. We're visiting with Alex Marvez from FoxSports.com talking about the playoffs this weekend. You, Alex, will be at the Falcons at Giants game. I think this is one of the more intriguing games of the weekend when you look at how the Giants have sort of turned things around, and this Falcons team, so much expected of it going into the season, and it's really been somewhat of a disappointment that they weren't as maybe more dominant, that they're playing the first weekend of the postseason. How do you see this coming out?
You know, you raise such a great point, and it's interesting to see how the perception of the Falcons has changed under Thomas Dimitroff and Mike Smith. a 10-6 record used to be great. You know what I mean? And the third consecutive winning season and getting back into the playoffs. I mean, yeah, I mean, this, you know, when you go ahead and you look at it in a different context, it's like, wow, 10 wins is disappointing. But when you're coming off a 13-3 season and you think that you're ready to take that next step and you haven't done it and you've lost too many big games, that's the thing with the Falcons. It doesn't give you a lot of confidence. It doesn't give you a lot of confidence that playing outdoors either going forward. And so many people are talking about the New York Giants, comparing this team to the one in 2007 that caught fire late in the regular season and then carried that momentum all the way through to the Super Bowl. I can tell you this. I think that out of the teams remaining, Green Bay and San Francisco, they definitely don't want to see the New York Giants come in their way again because they went ahead and pushed those teams to the limit. I think the Giants are a terrible matchup if they win, having to go back to New Orleans. But first things first, they got to take care of business on Sunday. I think, and I have a column up at FoxSports.com about this, the groundwork for this Giants team really wasn't laid in 2007. This foundation of this team and why it's had success was set back in August. And that's when there was so much doom and gloom around this franchise. And this team is tough. They reflect the personality of their head coach. They go ahead, they handle all the media pressure they're under being in the world's largest media market.
Right.
I mean, I think it's a special group of guys. I do think they win Sunday. But I tell you, it's amazing to me, and I'm not sure how you feel, Vic, but it just seems to me like the Falcons are getting a tremendous lack of respect and attention heading into this one. And I don't know what that's going to mean for Sunday.
Yeah, and I certainly wouldn't take this Falcons team lightly. I think they will compete, and it will be a difficult game for both sides, but especially for the Giants to have success. But here's my thing. This is the postseason where Eli Manning can finally take, and he's done a pretty good job of this in the regular season, but I think this will be the defining part where the stage is his, where his big brother is out of the way. He's been off the field all year, and now little brother can, I really think, establish himself in this postseason, because if the Giants are going to be successful and go a long way, it's Eli and those receivers that'll make the difference. The final game of the weekend, Steelers at Broncos, and obviously this game is all about how Tim Tebow you heard about that guy Tim Tebow will handle this Steeler defense, and possibly can he reclimate? Can he build back what came apart for him through the latter part of this season? I just don't see how that's going to happen against the Steelers.
You know, I think this game may be closer than what people think, because I don't think the Steelers are hitting on all cylinders right now. And Vic, you had a chance firsthand to watch Pittsburgh play last week at Cleveland. And, you know, I thought that maybe the Steelers took the game a little bit lightly. I mean, you remember the shovel pass to Hines Ward
right.
in the fourth quarter, and Hines comes off the field laughing. And, you know, it was like it was a play that made no sense in the context of their game, if you know what I mean, to run that play. It wasn't even designed to get yardage so much as to make sure that Hines Ward gets his 1,000th career catch. And when you're doing things like that in a game, to me, that showed a little bit of disrespect, quite honestly, on the Pittsburgh Steelers' part, but that's neither here nor there. I do think, though, that the Steelers losing Rashard Mendenhall to a torn ACL, Ben Roethlisberger still not quite right from that ankle, I'm not sure how many points they're going to put up, because this Denver Broncos defense is awfully good. We scrutinize Tim Tebow constantly. We're just, you know, this week, was he afraid to throw the football? Did they not get him into rhythm with short passes? Or, you know, what is it that's going on with Tim Tebow? And it's amazing that everyone has answers for this guy, it seems, except the Denver Broncos, to get it back on track. So I'm with you. I think that the Steelers win, but again, I do think this may be a closer game, just because I don't think Pittsburgh is really rocking and rolling right now.
Right. Yeah, the issues that will keep it closer are, is Ben 100%? He said he maybe aggravated that ankle against the Browns last week. They lose Rashard Mendenhall. So they've got some issues and problems. Ryan Clark will not be in the lineup. So there are areas of the Steeler team that you wonder about. But overall, I just can't imagine the Broncos having enough to beat them. Like you said, maybe make it competitive, but not beat them. Alex, great breakdown. Truly appreciate it, and we will talk to you again.
Awesome, Dick. Be good, baby.
All right, that is Alex Marvez from FoxSports.com. Catch his great work on that website and catch his coverage of Giants-Falcons game. We've got much more coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, brought to you by Madden NFL 12. In stores now, EA Sports. It's in the game. Hey, Browns fans, Vic Carucci here, talking to you about my good friends at Liberty Ford, Ohio's number one Ford dealer group. Did you know that Liberty has been part of the local community for over 30 years and has 5 locations throughout Northeast Ohio that are close, convenient, and easy to find? With over 1,500 vehicles to choose from, guaranteed financing, and award-winning service departments in all locations, the Liberty experience is impossible to beat. Go to Liberty Ford today or visit LibertyFord.com.
Quaker Steak and Lube is the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns. Stop in your local lube on any game day to get the exclusive Dog Pound Bucket of Wings. And guess what? You get to keep the signature Dog Pound Bucket. Don't worry, it's plastic, so you can clean off the lube wing sauce easily. Enjoy your Dog Pound Bucket at the lube or swing through the pickup Wingo window and take it home for your party. Quaker Steak and Lube is proud to be the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns.
Hey, Browns fans, your favorite Cleveland Browns are going green, and you can too. Intercept your way. Recycle your cardboard, paper, plastic, cans, and glass at home, at work, and on game day. Remember to compost food scraps and yard clippings too. Make it a habit. Reduce, reuse, recycle, and compost. Visit CuyahogaSWD.org to learn more. Powered by the Ohio Department of Natural Resources and the Cuyahoga County Solid Waste District.
Camp Bow Wow wants to give your dog the chance to pick the winner of the big game in February on NFL Roundtable during the Really Big Show. Enter your best friend at any of the five Camp Bow Wow locations in Bedford Heights, Cuyahoga Falls, Highland Heights, Strongsville, or Westlake. The winning dog will represent Camp Bow Wow in studio on the Really Big Show to pick who will win the big game. More prizes from Camp Bow Wow will be available as well. Be sure to enter your dog to appear on the Really Big Show. For more information, log on to campbowwow.com.
Becky, thanks for calling.
Oh, no problem.
Lyle, honey, it's time to go home.
DoubleMySpeed.com.
What is that he keeps saying?
DoubleMySpeed.com.
DoubleMySpeed.com.
What is that?
Oh, this amazing site. Lyle logged on to DoubleMySpeed.com, got a free comprehensive diagnosis, and within minutes, he knew exactly what was slowing down our PC.
Wow.
Anyway, DoubleMySpeed.com removed dangerous spyware and a virus.
Okay.
They cleaned our computer remotely and restored it to peak performance.
DoubleMySpeed.com. DoubleMySpeed.com.
We know, Lyle. He's so excited about DoubleMySpeed.com that he wanders the neighborhood to spread the word. But the only thing you can say is DoubleMySpeed.com at double speed.
Yeah, I wonder if Don knows about DoubleMySpeed.com.
Oh, Lyle sent him an email. Don, do you know about...
DoubleMySpeed.com, DoubleMySpeed.com, DoubleMySpeed.com.
Get your free diagnosis at DoubleMySpeed.com, and within minutes, find out what's slowing down your PC.
DoubleMySpeed.com,
DoubleMySpeed.com.
Yes, it was a group email.
Get your free diagnosis today. DoubleMySpeed.com. Your PC, like new again. DoubleMySpeed.com.
Results will vary depending on your PC software and other factors.
Hey, the Roadman, Kenny Rhoda here, and are you ready for the snow? The team at Ganley Chrysler Jeep and Dodge is, as they want to make you a deal you can't refuse. Like the 2012 Jeep Liberty 4x4 Sport, lease it right now starting as low as $259 a month for 36 months with no money down. That's crazy! I'm driving one of these babies right now and loving it. The look, the way it handles, the all-weather capability, and it's a trail-rated vehicle so I can go anywhere and do anything in my 2012 Jeep Liberty 4x4 Sport. Come check out what I'm talking about. Take it for a test drive at Ganley Chrysler Jeep and Dodge, 123 Broadway Avenue on the historic Bedford Auto Mile. Maybe you're not into leases. You want to buy? Even better. How about a starting price of $20,500 on that brand new 2012 Jeep Liberty 4x4 Sport? Only at Ganley Chrysler Jeep and Dodge, 123 Broadway Avenue on the Bedford Auto Mile. So come take advantage of it. Save big. Hurry, these prices won't last. Call today for more info. 440-232-2121 and tell them the Roadman sent you.
Really appreciate the fact that you're spending this Football Friday with us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, in association with Quaker Steak and Lube, and this running back positional review segment. It's driven by Liberty Ford.
Very happy to be joined right now by Michael Ragai. Of course, you can hear him here on WKNR, and you can also hear him on our post-game live show during the season. Did an outstanding job with that. Michael, welcome to Cleveland Browns Daily.
I appreciate it, Vic. Happy New Year. Great to see you, as always.
Well, today we're going to talk about running backs. It's a position that, for the Browns, interesting, I guess, would be one word to use, and that's probably being kind.
Yeah.
Maybe bizarre could be another one, but
yeah.
To have happen what happened to this team at that position, you could see where a struggling offense would be in trouble right from the jump, because this was something they never really had the ability to get right, starting with the health of Peyton Hillis.
Yeah, Vic, no question about it. It was hectic at the running back position.
Another good word.
All year long. And you know, Vic, the thing about it that I can't get away from is that
this is a position, let's be frank about it, that not only you and I, but Mike Holmgren, Tom Heckert, everybody, Pat Shermer, everybody in the organization, Phil, we're good here.
Yeah.
I mean, we're good. You got Peyton Hillis coming off that season. Montario Hardesty's got a clean bill of health. And everybody forgets about Brandon Jackson.
Right.
A young man who gained over 700 yards when he was in the feature back role last year, out of necessity.
Yep.
Because of the Ryan Grant injury in Green Bay.
Yep.
So, didn't we all say back in August, hey, this is a lockdown position for this football team. This is a position of strength.
All you felt, taking my thoughts back to August, I agree completely with you, was that this would be solid and then find its way into the West Coast attack as a role that would still be important, because we know how important the history, if you look at what Mike Holmgren had in San Francisco with Roger Craig, in Green Bay with Dorsey Levens and company. The running back position doesn't get lost in this scheme, and yet it did, but for reasons other than the scheme. It was lost because, as you say, losing having the health problems that Peyton Hillis had, the recurring issues then with Montario Hardesty, and I do think not enough appreciation for how much losing Brandon Jackson for the whole year right in the preseason was with that toe injury, because he was supposed to be the guy who caught a lot of passes out of the backfield and gave defenses something to think about.
Absolutely, Vic. Right on point. And I can't blame fans, because we never got a chance to see Brandon Jackson. He played in a game and a half, I believe, if I remember correctly, before he went down. And yeah, he's the guy that's going to come in, be your third down back, no question about it. And yet, the core of the whole thing, of course, was the situation with Peyton Hillis. And let's not forget now, Pat Shermer last year in St. Louis.
Right.
I mean, Steven Jackson, you find out, had a tremendous season with Pat as the offensive coordinator. And Vic, we know how vital a running back that can take the football, challenge the perimeter, and be a conduit to this West Coast pass game is in the grand scheme of this offense. And it never got untracked all year long. And to me, that was as large a hindrance to the development of the West Coast as anything else.
And then all along, and I'll give the team this much credit, you get a Chris Obanaya in here.
Terrific.
Who was just basically a stopgap, a band-aid, something, because you absolutely desperately had to have somebody. And at one point, you know, when you bring a guy like this into your team from the Houston Texans practice squad, your expectations have to be modest. Truth of the matter was, I think Chris Obanaya gave this team probably more than you could expect under those circumstances.
No doubt. He proved he belonged. And again, you know, you talk about maybe general managers that miss on draft picks and personnel departments. Well, you know, how about, hey, tip of the cap to Tom Heckert here for being able to go and identify a young man like this who felt that the guy's got NFL skills. And as we know through all of our years, that a lot of times, yeah, guy may have NFL skills, but for whatever reason, look at that situation he was in with Arian Foster and Ben Tate. Is he ever going to see the football? No, he's not going to see the football field there. So, yes, and yet again, though, as everything played out, I was talking to Montario Hardesty as this season has come to an end. And he's looking to get his burst back, Vic, and his explosiveness back. And we were talking about maybe something was gained for him through, of course, he didn't want to sit like he had to do for half the season, but maybe he gains something from that, to being able to take a look at the game and understand that, even though he played in a terrific environment in the SEC, it is a little bit quicker. And there are things that he's going to have to have become first nature to him again when he gets on the football field. But there's a lot of unknown right now.
Yeah.
There's a lot of unknown about the running back position, and it stems from whether or not Peyton Hillis will be a part of this football team in 2012, and within the next 60 days, we'll probably find out.
Michael Ragai joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, as we break down the running back position, a positional review on today's show. Michael, let's talk a little more about Hillis. Now, it was a season, as we say, of high promise with what he did based on 2010 that pretty quickly vanished. That early on we saw
that it was not going to be, not only we weren't going to see the repeat, but then the concerns over his contract and the thought that that maybe bled into issues with his health. For example, the story of his having strep throat and that keeping him out of the Miami game, and then raising questions because his agent apparently had gotten involved in advising him what to do or not do, and nobody wants to hear that. Fans, media, I mean, everybody is turned off by that sort of angle. And then beyond that, obviously the hamstring becomes a problem for him. And a lot of talk about Madden curse and so forth, but I would say, I laugh at that too.
Yeah.
So, but nonetheless, we did have a guy who for sure, it turned the entire position into a cocked hat. I mean, there was almost no recovering from that, and I just wonder, for his sake, now he had those those back-to-back games at the end of the year, 99 yards against Arizona, 112 against Baltimore,
right.
solid games, but were they enough to make anyone forget about what happened earlier in the year?
Vic, that is that's the question that, again, those 60 days are going to determine that I was mentioning, whether or not that will get answered in the way. And listen, there's a love affair with Peyton Hillis with Cleveland Browns fans, and that's terrific. You know, I get it. I understand it. Why not? You know, the guy came in here and showed he does certainly typify what this city's all about,
right,
from a football perspective and a working person's perspective. You know, Vic, a big misnomer too. There's so many people about, well, you know, it's Pat Shurmur and the offensive staff didn't give him the football enough. Well, wait a minute. Au contraire here. You go back. In the first two games of the football season, he carried the football 44 times, 17 against Cincinnati and 27.
Right.
Now, to me, averaging 22 times, hey, you know what? You're looking at over 300 carries during the season. So I think that was a little bit clouded. But Vic, as much as I like Peyton, I feel that he and his representation brought a lot of this on themselves at the beginning of the year, as you alluded to. And I just hope that, you know, I want to believe Peyton's the type of young man that will take a look at that and say maybe some of these things. Now, the injury, the hamstring, okay, that's separate here.
Mm-hmm.
Man got hurt, but I just wish that, you know, that type of decision possibly wasn't made by he and his representation, because I do think that it probably set things along the way early, not in the kind of light that he or anybody else would have wanted.
And the other part of this discussion is about the running style. This is a straight-ahead collision power guy.
Yeah.
This is a guy who's, that's his game.
Yep.
And it is about pounding and hammering on the opponent. And it was effective, obviously, in those two games that we talked about, Cardinals-Ravens, second time around against the Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure how great a fit it is when you do think of this offense and what Pat Shurmur's trying to achieve. And obviously, we're going to see the new thoughts of an offensive coordinator when that person is hired, mm-hmm. what his philosophy is and how what he brings to the table and how he sees the running game. But I think there's much to be said about getting that outside, that perimeter run, running, which this football team never really had on any consistent basis. I mean, that was what was supposed to be Montero Hardesty's role.
Exactly.
So his health or lack thereof was a problem. And Chris Obanaya showed us some of that as well. But my thinking going forward is whoever's the featured back for this team has got to have those skills as well, which I guess is another way of saying I'm not so sure about Peyton Hillis.
And I think you're correct, because it was one of the very first questions that as this season has ended, Vic, I asked Pat Shurmur. And it's about what you're alluding to, challenging the perimeter. In this offense, you've got to have a back that is able to get out on the edge, Vic, and make defenses account for that. As we said, we go back to Steven Jackson. Now, Jackson was able to do that in St. Louis, and it helped a young Sam Bradford. And it helped Pat Shurmur make his offense a little more whole, a little more in total. But, you know, that's exactly correct. Look, Peyton Hillis is a tackle-to-tackle bruising guy. He's not the guy that's going to get out on the edge and be able to challenge the defense on the perimeter. So that's got to be added next year, one way or the other. And as you said, whether or not he's the feature back, even let's say if he is brought back, it's still an issue that the Browns are going to have to make sure that they get taken care of, because whether that, hopefully it would be a Montario Hardesty or a Brandon Jackson, both of whom are going to be here. But for this offense to really reach its potential and to give defense the type of fits that you want it to, you're going to have some of that with your running back to be able to get outside and you know, make defenses play 53 yards on their football field.
Sure. Now, as we look to the fullback position, and not a ton to talk about here, but Owen Marisic, I know this this coaching staff, certainly this Tom Heckert and the rest of the personnel crew, very excited about him coming aboard as a rookie. Had the concussion issue too, which obviously is not something to brush past. But other than that, I mean, the feeling was that he's everything that they want this they want in a fullback, that this team wants him to be, and going forward, a bright future at that fullback position, which is still important to whatever, however this offense translates.
That and a very solid special teams guy, too, that can play, you know, both kickoff cover and kickoff return. And I'd like to see next year the evolvement a little bit. And, you know, Vic, we're not talking maybe, but I'd like to see Owen Marisic to see if he could handle what's he going to do with the football. Now, obviously, I'm only talking a couple of times a game here.
Right,
but whether that is, you know, in short yardage, in certain down and distances, in certain areas of the football field. And also, Vic, I believe the kid has got the wherewithal to be able to catch the football a little bit out of the backfield, use him as an H.
5 receptions he had for 31 yards.
Yeah.
Use him as a H-back kind of guy.
Yeah, that type of thing, too, just to give you that little bit different dynamic, again, in your offense. And it's something that this this version of the Mike Holmgren offensive system usually has.
Mm-hmm.
So I would look for that, yeah, but I think this organization is very pleased with getting Owen Marisic where they did in the draft, and what he accomplished in his rookie year.
Sure.
I mean, let's face it, I mean, you know, he's got to have that blue collar attitude, because he's doing a lot of banging, day in and day out, banging, and that's his role on this football team.
Very physical role. Michael, thank you so much for breaking this down, and we will revisit with you again soon in the offseason.
Vic, look forward to it.
All right, that is Michael Ragai joining us here. Of course, you catch him right here on ESPN 850 WKNR, the host of the post-game live show during the season. And we've got much more coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford, brought to you by Madden NFL 12 in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game.
Looking for the best deal on a new or pre-owned vehicle? Well, look no further than LibertyFord.com. Go online and search Ohio's number one Ford dealer group's large selection of new and pre-owned inventory. Apply for instant credit approval, schedule your next service appointment, learn about special offers, and more. It's all just one click away at LibertyFord.com. Liberty guarantees financing, and nobody pays more for your trade.
Liberty has been stolen. Mayo Heights, Brunswick, Palma Heights, Vermilion.
Quaker Steak and Lube is the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns. Stop in your local lube on any game day to get the exclusive Dog Pound Bucket of Wings. And guess what? You get to keep the signature Dog Pound Bucket. Don't worry, it's plastic, so you can clean off the lube wing sauce easily. Enjoy your Dog Pound Bucket at the lube, or swing through the pickup wingo window and take it home for your party. Quaker Steak and Lube is proud to be the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns. Madden NFL 12 delivers an authentic NFL experience with an all-new collision system, team-specific runners, and real-life broadcast with all-new dynamic player performance. Players' traits rise and fall based on their performance throughout the game. Madden NFL 12, true to the game. EA Sports Madden NFL 12 is available now. Want to learn more? Go to ea.com/MaddenNFL.
Hey Browns fans, Bernie Kosar here. As a former NFL quarterback, I know what it's like to get hit hard. But you can keep your wallet from getting hit hard when you take advantage of Discount Drug Mart's $1.99 generic prescription program. Discount Drug Mart offers hundreds of prescriptions and non-prescription medications starting at just $1.99. Just like my offensive line protected me, Discount Drug Mart will protect your wallet. Discount Drug Mart, the official drugstore of the Cleveland Browns.
January. NTB starts the year with their annual warehouse clearance sale. NTB,
starting the year with one of their biggest sales of the year.
NTB, one of America's largest tire companies, with the purchase of one-year alignment and premium installation, will save you 50% off regular retail price on select name-brand tires.
Select Yokohama, Pirelli, and Cooper. Buy two, get two.
That's 50% off. I said select name-brand tires. Pay for two tires, get two tires free.
While supplies last, NTB's put hundreds of thousands of tires on sale. On sale where you can save 50% while supplies last.
Don't make the mistake of missing this sale. NTB's warehouse clearance won't happen again for a whole year.
Phone 1-800-NEW-TIRE for your nearest NTB.
We're back on Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford. Browns fans, deposits for 2012 season tickets and club-level memberships, they're now being accepted. To place your deposit today, call 440-824-3434 or visit clevelandbrowns.com. And this running backs by the numbers review segment, it's brought to you by Quaker Steak and Lube.
Now it's time to go inside the numbers with the running backs position, and helping us with that is Matt Florjancic, staff writer for ClevelandBrowns.com. Matt, when you look at this spot, it's all about health. I just picture the Red Cross sort of over this position and think about starting with Peyton Hillis and the problems that he had, and then Montario Hardesty, that you thought he was back to good health, and we saw what unfolded with him, and just that creating a mess and a nightmare at a position that a lot of us thought was in good shape before the season started.
Well, you look at the depth that the Browns had going into camp, and you thought, okay, they're in good shape. They had five backs in camp: Brandon Jackson, Hillis, Hardesty, Armon Smith, and Quinn Porter. So you're looking at that, and you're like, okay, this could be a good thing.
Yeah.
And then the injury bug bit, and it bit before the regular season started. Brandon Jackson goes down with a toe injury and is lost for the year. And keep in mind, this was a guy that was one of the few free agents that the Browns did bring in this year.
Right.
He had a great year up in Green Bay last year. He ran for 703 yards and three touchdowns, caught 43 passes out of the backfield in a similar offense to what the Browns were trying to implement this year.
And that was the dimension, that pass receiving dimension, that could have made a big difference to this Browns offense.
Absolutely. You're talking about a guy who really helped anchor a running attack for the Green Bay Packers in a year where they were riddled with injuries too. I believe they finished with 15 or 16 players on injured reserve and still ended up winning the Super Bowl.
Right.
And Jackson was a big part of that when Ryan Grant went down with his injury. And that was the tip of the iceberg for the Browns. When you lost Brandon Jackson, you're like, okay, you still have a good lineup with Hillis and Hardesty, a good 1-2 punch. Then you go into the Miami game, Hillis gets sick with strep throat,
right,
and later gets injured with suffers a hamstring injury at Oakland on October 16th, and then re-injures it before the Houston game on November 6th. You were down to quite a few running backs being on injury reserve or on the injury report quick at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, and Hillis, of course, finishes the season as the Browns' leading rusher for the second year in a row, but a far cry from what 2010 was for him. 587 yards this year, three touchdowns, 161 carries. That's a 3.6 average. That's not spectacular, and it's not what this team really, you know, wanted or needed from him and needed for this offense to be successful. But I think the biggest thing is that there wasn't an alternate answer when things started to go bad for him physically, because that's where Montario Hardesty, whose season was cut short in 2010, that's where he was expected to pick things up.
Yeah, and it was only 2 weeks after Hillis went down with the hamstring injury originally in Oakland that Hardesty started to feel his pain, and it started on a return trip to the Bay Area when on the second series of the game, Hardesty suffered a calf injury, and over the next seven games, he missed five of them and really wasn't productive out of the running back spot after that. In 2 years, Montario Hardesty has missed a boatload of games due to injury, I believe 23 by my count. Tough luck to start a career out of Tennessee after a guy that the Browns really were high on, traded back into the second round to get in 2010, thought he could be the running back of the future. Not to say as he can't, but in his first 2 years, he really hasn't been able to display much of his skills because he's been rehabbing from injury going into 2011, and then for the better part of 2011, he was rehabbing from another injury.
And that left the Browns to really, in dire straits, go out and try to beat the streets and find a running back. And they go to the Houston Texans practice squad. And actually, man, I thought they did quite well. They bring in Chris Obanaya, who shows a lot in terms of explosiveness, talent, outside speed, instinctiveness, smarts. Really a pretty good package for a running back that you're pulling in during the season.
He was a great find for this Browns organization. That's a credit to Tom Heckert and his personnel staff and what they do in terms of trying to find the right guys to bring into the system. And he was a guy familiar with Colt McCoy. They played together at the University of Texas, and Obanaya really proved to be the guy that the Browns relied on. And started in that San Francisco game with Hardesty going down so early, Obanaya was it. He was the only other running back on the active roster that day, and really it was him, or it was a quarterback running out of the pocket, or it was fullback Owen Marisic.
Or it was you.
Who was going to end up running the football. I mean, they had no options other than Obanaya after Hardesty went down, and Obanaya started four games for the Browns this year.
Good numbers from him,
and,
right?
And had really good numbers. He ran for 90 yards on 19 carries against St. Louis, followed it up a week later with 115 yards and his first NFL touchdown on 21 carries and a win over the Jacksonville Jaguars. And when you look at what he was able to accomplish, he was the first Browns runner to go over 100 yards this season, and that is not good when it happens on November 20th. But you look at what he was able to do, had three of the longest runs of the season for the Browns. The 40-yarder against Jacksonville, a 32-yarder against St. Louis, and then he had a 28-yarder in the second quarter at Pittsburgh.
Right.
This young man really provided a punch and a spark for an offense that desperately needed a running back.
Matt, great stuff from you as always, and we will catch up again next week.
Sounds good, Vic. Have a good one.
All right. Matt Flojancic, staff writer for ClevelandBrowns.com, breaking down the numbers at the running backs position as we do our positional reviews on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR. Hey, Browns fans, Vic Carucci here, talking to you about my good friends at Liberty Ford, Ohio's number one Ford dealer group. Liberty has hundreds of vehicles in stock to choose from, like the 2012 Explorer Limited I'm driving right now. Great design, third row seating, navigation, plus all the technology you need right at your fingertips. With guaranteed financing and award-winning customer service, you just can't beat the Liberty Ford experience. Stop by Liberty Ford today to see for yourself or visit LibertyFord.com.
At First Merit Bank, getting to know our customers is important to us. So how do we do it? Well, it's simple. By listening, learning, understanding your business, and by turning all those things into a real, roll-up-our-sleeves, working-together-to-achieve-your-future-goals kind of relationship. So let's start now. Hey, how about that game? Let's get to know each other. First Merit Bank. You first. Member FDIC.
Cleveland Browns Stadium and the Browns Training Facility have just the right spaces to help make your next private event a masterpiece. The Browns offer up to 30 unique and inviting venues that can make your wedding, bar and bat mitzvah, holiday party, prom, or other social or corporate event a success. For more information on how you can host your next private event with the Browns, call 440-824-6162 or visit clevelandbrowns.com.
This is Jim Swayze. You know how every prediction seems to be followed by a suggestion like, it'll probably rain, better not wash the car. So when I heard they're predicting an exceptionally cold winter, I suggested to Jenny that we head to Half Price Books and stock up on some great cozy up-to-the-fire reads. When it's downright chilly, it's right down to Half Price Books for us. Around our house, stacks of seasonal wood and seasonal books pile up faster than all our New Year's resolutions, and when the kids come in from the cold, some hot cider and a wonderland of warm stories do the trick. They love Half-Price Books. There's just something about real books. Thumbing through the pages, peeking to see how close you're getting to the end, it gets you as wrapped up as a cat in a quilt. And when almost everything's half-price or less, the whole family can really stock up for the winter. Half-Price Books. Real books, real treasures, real cheap. In North Olmsted, Mayfield Heights, Menor, and Rocky River. Find out more or drop me a note on the blog at hpb.com.
For more than 50 years, Lourdes has been the place to receive a quality, value-centered education. With numerous bachelor and master degree programs, a renowned faculty, and one of the lowest private tuition rates in the entire state, Lourdes is the place for you. Come on, discover our beautiful campus community, exciting new athletic programs, and apartment-style residence halls. Discover a new you. Discover Lourdes University. Apply today. Lourdes.edu.
Hey, the roadman Kenny Rhoda here, and are you ready for the snow? The team at Ganley Chrysler Jeep and Dodge is, as they want to make you a deal you can't refuse. Like the 2012 Jeep Liberty 4x4 Sport, lease it right now starting as low as $259 a month for 36 months with no money down. That's crazy. I'm driving one of these babies right now and loving it. The look, the way it handles, the all-weather capability, and it's a trail-rated vehicle so I can go anywhere and do anything in my 2012 Jeep Liberty 4x4 Sport. Come check out what I'm talking about. Take it for a test drive at Ganley Chrysler Jeep and Dodge, 123 Broadway Avenue on the historic Bedford Auto Mile. Maybe you're not into leases. You want to buy? Even better. How about a starting price of $20,500 on that brand new 2012 Jeep Liberty 4x4 Sport? Only at Ganley Chrysler Jeep and Dodge, 123 Broadway Avenue on the Bedford Auto Mile. So come take advantage of it. Save big. Hurry. These prices won't last. Call today for more info. 440-232-2121 and tell them the Roadman sent you.
Yes, a little Jerry Rafferty, a little Baker Street, bringing us back here. I'm Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Time to go into that mailbag. It's not a mailbag, but it still sounds better when you say it that way. It's questions that are sent electronically to the Browns official Facebook page for yours truly. And I answer them for you, as many of them as I can, either the Browns official Facebook or Twitter pages. Let's go to the Twitter page for some of these here. At MJ Already Taken is the handle. Question, if you don't know who your quarterback is going to be, then how will you shore up the position? Well, I think in answering that, it's finding the guy. If you don't know who it's going to be, then that means you're in the search mode. So you can shore it up by bringing aboard someone else, right? That's a way to shore it up. And by not committing, at least now, to Colt McCoy, it's not even saying that he's not going to be the guy, but shoring his play up is another task that can be handled with just better coaching in the offseason, better job, stepping it up, having an offensive coordinator come aboard, another new voice and face and talent to the coaching staff. So I think that's the way to look at that, or that's the way I'm looking at that. At Marianne BSU is the handle on this Twitter question. So, are they not re-signing Hillis? And that was in response to the tweet from Tom Hecker. Well, I'm sorry, the tweet from Browns Daily quoting Tom Hecker as saying, I don't think, he said this on the show last night, I don't think we're starting all over at running back. We're expecting Monterio to be back healthy. I would say that doesn't say no Hillis distinctively or emphatically, but I'm skeptical about Hillis. And I don't think you're asking that question if you were if you weren't feeling the same way. And then you're reading that it means more faith in Monterio Hardesty coming back healthy, which could be the case. That is a guy that this personnel department, Tom Hecker as general manager, drafted, believes in, wanted to be the guy last year. Hillis, remember, was the guy who got that. Sort of, it was unintended that he was going to become the starter and had that magical kind of great season that he had in 2010, but it was supposed to be the Monterio Hardesty show in a big way, and he continues to have health issues. So I don't know, but there is clearly the Tom Hecker expressed the faith that he'll, Hardesty will return to good health. At BK Buckeye, Mike Holmgren, I'm quoting on the Browns official Twitter page, quote from his show last night, hang in there with me. Sure, BK Buckeye says, we aren't going anywhere, but is next year really going to be any better? My sense is that yes, and it has to be. My sense is that there's a great feeling of urgency within this building to do everything possible to make this happen. I think that was the statement, the mission statement, the mandate. And it's not a new
commitment or a new feeling that was expressed by Mike Holmgren yesterday. It's not different, and I think it's a continuation. It might be reiterating what he's felt right along and both believing that what he's doing is the right way to do it and that everyone under him is doing the same thing. So my feeling is that, yeah, it's going to be better because, again, it has to be. And he has mandated it and said it as clearly and succinctly as possible. So I'll believe that. Justin, are we going to build an explosive? This is from Facebook. Build an explosive offense this season. Justin, I believe all the effort will be geared toward that. I do. And if the answer is, you know, if I'm saying, yeah, I believe that it, with unknown parts to the puzzle or pieces to the puzzle that it'll produce the results, I guess I am saying that. But I'm going to have the faith that if you put as much effort, let's put it this way, if there is as successful as addressing the defense the previous 2 years in the draft on offense, then I feel very good about it. We want to thank Joe Thomas and Alex Marvez and Michael Regai and Matt Flojancic and Pat McKenna and our great producer Dave DiNatale. We will talk to you again on Monday on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.